previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
Well, this morning we've got very special guests in studio with us, and we're going to be diving into the story of a man whose vision quite literally changed the landscape, not just of our region in the Eastern Cape, but of conservation in South Africa. The Man Who Shaped a Landscape is the brand new book by historian and storyteller, no stranger to Algoa FM, Dean Allen. It chronicles the remarkable life of Mr. Adrian Gardner, an entrepreneur, a conservation pioneer and founder of Chamois and Mantis. It's got a foreword by none other than Gary Player, and the book is really more than a biography. It's a powerful story of resilience, of legacy, and the difference one person can make. Gentlemen, good morning, and thank you so much for joining us.
What a pleasure it is to be back here. This is my favourite station.
Your favourite station, of course it is.
I listen to it every single morning.
And I'm sorry about us.
Wait for the interviews you do, the finance, the things that you cover in the morning. And so it's an absolute privilege and pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the support. Thank you.
Dean, let's just start off with you, right? So, no ordinary biography. As I said, it's a tribute to a man who quite literally reshaped the land, literally. And, you know, the title says shaped a landscape, but it's clear that Adrian's impact has been just as much about people, about communities, about teams, and about future generations. What strikes you most about his leadership style and his ability to bring others along on his journey?
Well, first of all, great to be back, guys. Lovely. It feels like I'm home again in Quebec and Algoa FM, so thanks for the invite. As you know, this is the book that brought me to the Eastern Cape originally. Adrian, you know, invited me to come along and tell his story, and what a story it is, as you said. It encompasses a lot more than, with all due respect, Adrian's story. It's a story of conservation, landscape change, innovation. But I soon realized that, you know, the narrative would be Adrian's life, what he's done. He's a serial entrepreneur in the truest sense of the word. And thankfully for all of us here, he decided his legacy was going to be in conservation and wildlife tourism. And it really has changed the landscape of the Eastern Cape. We now have 15, 16, or 17 private reserves on the edge of the wonderful Addo Elephant Park, which is part of Adrian's legacy, of course. But his leadership style and the way he has kept the team together, loyalty, and also the fact he's so thorough in what he does, of course. And this man hasn't got the word can't in his repertoire, because you don't tell Adrian Gardner that something can't be done. And I think a true pioneer sees something, sees a vision. And that's what he did back in the late 80s. He stood up on that hill and he looked at desolate land in the Eastern Cape that had been overgrazed and part of the agricultural landscape for generations. And he decided he was going to bring the indigenous species back. And that's what makes such a great story. And it's a privilege to tell it.
Yeah, the year was 2022. We were invited by Adrian Gardner for the launch and the opening. It was shortly after COVID had hit us, to the train at Founders Lodge, spectacular venue. And we were sitting there and Adrian said, "This man on my left," I remember it very clearly, "this man on my left is going to write my book." However, he doesn't know about it just yet.
Dean was just as shocked as we were.
I was, and you all said to me, "Good luck with that." And that was I was stuck with it.
You know, you just made that point about a can't. You know who was the guy who taught me that that word is a very powerful word? Because his brother and him were running, Gary and him. Mm. And Gary said, "I can't go any further." So Ian said to him, "Write the word C-A-N-T in the dirt there."
In the sand,
yeah. And then he said, "Take out the T."
Wow.
And then you've got can.
Can.
Yeah. So
very nice.
So you know, I've always said it can be done. You know, when I started, and it's in the book, you know, everybody laughed at me. They thought I had more money than brain. It wouldn't work. And just yesterday, with an international organization which we brought to this country called Global Humane, we're busy with, and they are, with putting another whole lot of farms together. So it just shows you that the impact that it's having. And I think the one thing that I still got to achieve is that, you know, we are not yet recognized internationally as a wildlife destination, the Eastern Cape.
Oh.
You know, it's sad. And I say, you know, the Sabi sand, when they dropped the fence of the Kruger, the Sabi Sand and Kruger sort of became one. We've got to be much more associated with Addo. I even heard Dean say Addo Elephant Park. Remember, it was Addo Elephant.
Yes.
But, you know, they've dropped the word elephant now. It's Addo. Addo
game. I wasn't even aware of that.
Same.
So, you know, Addo's enlarging itself all the time. I mean, they're doing an incredible job. They've got the big five now. They didn't have it. I started that, and then they brought them in. But so we've got to attach ourselves to something that's going to be, you know, and together with the Wilderness Foundation, which I brought here with Ian Player, because I said to Ian, Ian, the day you die, the foundation dies. He said, why? I said, because you're bigger than the foundation. We have to have the foundation as bigger than you are. And we brought it here with Andrew Muir, and we're talking 2001 at 9/11 when we had the 7th World Wilderness Congress here. And everybody came. And that's when we brought the Wilderness Foundation here. Today, it's probably the second biggest foundation in South Africa. And it was thanks to two people, huh? Enoch Gunodwana and the gentleman that's going to America now. You remember he, the Eastern Cape guy, our Imkabizi Jonas?
Yes.
They were both based here. And I said to Enoch, who was a minister in the local government, we want to bring the foundation here. And he helped us with it. So that goes back probably 25 years. So, you know, these sort of things have happened now. And then, as Dean rightly said, you know, there's 16 different game reserves here now. But we still, you know, when you think about the rates we get, and the problem is the airlift to Port Lizard at the moment, symbolic. You know, you can't get here in the morning anymore. You know, I think there's one flight a week that you can get here. You got to come the night before. And then the ones
and it costs an arm and a leg.
You're quite right. So, you know, we've still got a lot of hurdles to cross and to get ourselves to the stage is that we are a proper destination.
Dean, for you, I mean, when you were asked to do this book with with us standing there next to you, the man who changed a landscape, where do you start? Because I see at the start of the book, you start off with Gary Player. What are the? I mean, I know what the significance there is, but the listeners listening right now may not know. Why would you start Adrian's book with Gary Player at the start?
With a foreword by Gary Player, which we're privileged to have. Well, the first thing they got in common, as you can hear, these are guys in their certainly their later years, but are not stopping anytime soon. Adrian's got a lot of work still to do going into his 80th decade. His 8th decade.
Just
yes,
like
I was going to say, definitely. So the energy and the so they had that in common. But Gary Player was the brother of Ian Player, and Ian Player, as Adrian often says, was his mentor and his great friend that guided him in the world of conservation, gave him the endorsement in this world. So that was it. But to answer your question, Wayne, about where did I start? My goodness, it was a tough one. I'm a historian. I'd written historical works. I'd written about people who were dead. This man's still alive, very much still alive. And it meant that the story had to be very accurate. But I basically went to people who knew him. So Adrian was brave enough to allow me to tell his story through the eyes of others. I think I did about 60 different interviews as a course of this book. And they all had different views of him and his lifestyle and what had happened. But I made sure that that narrative came through. And that, I think that gives the book that really human flavor, but people that will read it will can see it's about a bigger thing. So there's something special happening in this part of the world, and I was told that by people who were working for governments. This is an area that people are looking to rewild, which means that we're going to drop the fences between those reserves, and we're going to have corridors where animals can actually move naturally, which hasn't happened for generations. It was the 1820 settlers that came in and changed the landscape. Well, it took someone like Adrian with the vision to actually turn that landscape back. And of course, we work with commercial farming, etc., that everybody can have a piece in this, but it's got to be good for our planet and certainly for our region.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, lastly, from my side, I mean, just talking about Adrian's vision, just to end off with, I mean, there's a strong thread of legacy throughout the book, not just in terms of wildlife conservation, but also sustainable tourism and job creation. What would you say is your most enduring legacy, Adrian?
I think that, first of all, I just want to say something, is that I guess most people don't know that more species occurred in the Eastern Cape than anywhere else in Southern Africa. So the Kruger Park should have been here. We've got 7 biomes here. You know, so the carrying capacity of wildlife here was far bigger than anywhere else. So, you know, that...
they just have better marketing.
Well, no, it was because that the problem was when the 1820 settlers arrived here, they knocked them all out, because they needed it for farming. But the legacy, I think, is the lives that I've managed to change. You know, you probably all know that I was very involved in starting Stendon here, the university in Port Alfred, the only university in the world where you can do a semester in conservation and wildlife.
Wow.
And I've put a number of kids through that with bursaries and everything, and to see the lives that they've changed and the lives that have changed of the people that work for us. Now, just to give you an example, between Shamwari and Founders is that we employ more than 500 people. When I bought all those farms and put them together, there were 15 people.
Wow.
But, you know, and just I just want to quickly say is that you know about Noisy, the game reserve that we've started, you know.
Know about it and stayed there a couple of times. It's fantastic.
But, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, everybody talks about New York and Central Park, London and Hyde Park. We've got Kobecha and Uitenhage. We've got Game Park now. Not just that ordinary park. And we're getting great support and we're doing great things. We've got a big event there today with Global Humane of something that we're going to do about lions in this country. Just quickly, do you know there are 8,000 lions in captivity in this country for canned hunting or for bones? There's only 3,000 in the wild. So we're doing a whole thing about to try and change that. And we're working very strongly with government, Wilderness Foundation, and a lot of others.
There's work to be done.
Noisy is going to be an example of what can be done. And we're out there for the day today. So, you know, this platform that you give us to talk about the Eastern Cape and the assets that we've got here, please, guys, we need everybody here. Mm. We must make it work. It is a destination of Southern Africa that we've got to get on the map properly.
Absolutely. Well, strong words there from Adrian Gardner, who joins us in the studio as we introduce his brand new book, The Man Who Changed a Landscape. Firstly, from us, as we wrap it up now, congratulations on this book.
Where can we get it, Dean?
Yes.
You can, well, literally, it's just been off the press. So copies can be found at Adrian's wonderful boutique hotel in Summer Strand at number 5, if anyone wants to walk in there. But also online, we've got an online Shopify site. We're going to share that link, I'm sure, as part of this broadcast.
Yeah, okay. We will. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Algo FM Breakfast, and all of the best with the book.
We'll be giving one away, so stay tuned after the half past 8 news.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.